Welcome to the BioCurious podcast with your host, Kayla Osterhoff. As a health scientist, biohacker, and generally curious person, I'm always looking for new ways to optimize and integrate mind, body, and spiritual health. I created this podcast to explore the magic and science of human biology and expand your consciousness through learning. If you enjoy the episode that you're about to hear, please leave a review and share it with someone who can benefit from the information. Now let's get curious.
Welcome back to another episode of the BioCurious podcast. I hope you had a great week and are ready to learn about inclusive biohacking and the transgender perspective with Jaden James. In this episode, Jaden and Kayla talk about supporting your body through movement practice, movement and biohacks with transitioning, Jaden's story and life practices, and the importance of being inclusive with your language. As always, share a screenshot of this episode to your story to be featured on our Instagram, and I hope you enjoy this episode and learn something new.
Jaden, thank you so much for joining me on the BioCurious podcast today.
Thanks, Kayla. I'm really excited to be a part of this.
Yes, I am so excited for this conversation. I have been looking forward to it for months now. You and I met through Instagram when I had posted a series of posts about women's health science. And you reached out and pointed out this blind spot that I didn't even know I had. And immediately I was like, oh my gosh, I have to have you on the podcast. We need to talk about this, which was not being fully inclusive to the transgender community and potentially to other communities as well with the languaging that I was using about women. And since you brought that up, just so many things have expanded in my own language and conversations with people about inclusivity. And so I am so excited to talk to you about this because as a transgender man and a biohacker and a brilliant movement and body coach, you have so many beautiful, amazing, and really valuable insights. So thank you for offering to come here and share that with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for, you know, opening up this space for to receive that message in the first place. Like you said, that was seemed like months ago. That went by really fast leading up to our interview, and I'm equally as excited. But yeah, that was, you know, I found your page through a few other biohackers that I follow on Instagram, and just really I really enjoy the content you're promoting and that you are focused on women's health, because I know that that is an important area in the biohacking field as well. And so I really applaud you for being open to my response and to my feedback, and that then, you know, you're bringing me on the show to help elevate, you know, my voice through your platform. And so I just have a lot of respect for you in opening up this space. So yeah, I'm super excited to dive into the conversation.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate you so much for being willing to do this. Not only am I helping to elevate your voice, but you are with me as well and helping me to truly be more inclusive to my audience. So I have so much respect for you, and I'm just so grateful to be having this conversation. Before we dive into all of the juiciness that we are going to discuss today, can you tell the audience a little bit about your background and how you got into the field of work that you find yourself in now?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, to be completely transparent, as the title of this conversation, Transgender Biohacking, an Inclusive Approach, I identify as a transgender man. And there's always a lot of curiosity around how, you know, what that means and how I came into this place in my life. So just to share a little bit of that personal story to give context for who I am, I I was born female, so biologically I was born female, and in 2015 I came out as transgender, and in 2016 I started my physical and mental medical transition from female to male. So it has been almost it's been about a 5-year process. This May I'll be celebrating 5 years of that, and coming to that realization at the age of 32 for me was transformational, and it opened up the door. It answered so many questions of my past, and it has basically opened up this space that I have been developing over the past few years of slowly building my own confidence within my own movement practice, and then how can I bring that to those within the LGBT community who I do primarily work with, and specifically working with other trans men or non-binary identifying folks, and how, you know, how movement within your body can really support your overall health and wellness, and also just integrate that into those places in which you might be struggling. So that's kind of the basis of my background, of my personal transformation.
Thank you so much for sharing that and being so open to share that with us. I am a big, big fan of yours since you reached out. I love your content. I follow you. And by the way, for everybody who's listening, who is interested, definitely go check out his page, because not only is it brilliant, but also he has the most gorgeous body. And so you've really worked hard to build your physique. So tell us a little bit more about your movement practice and what you've learned around movement and how you support your body, especially with the transition that you've been through.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Great question. Yeah. So I've been a movement practitioner for, I would say, over 10 years at this point. And while it wasn't my main source of income, I previously worked in the natural food and organic food industry for 10 years. I always had a strong commitment to my movement practice. And that actually came from a place of having quite a bit of shame and dysphoria over my body, because since I was born biologically female, I went through all of the changes that a female body goes through with going through puberty. And that during that time of puberty, back when I was a teenager, I did develop eating disorder. So I struggled with anorexia for about 10 years, from my teenage years into my 20s. So somewhat of the basis of my original association with movement and fitness, like I shared earlier, my transition really answered a lot of questions for me that I had. And when I did start my medical transition, which means I started taking testosterone, because I feel that was a hormone I wasn't born with. I wouldn't in the quantity that I feel that I need and I feel connected with in expressing my physical body. So when I did start the medical transition, I was really faced with, how do I feel about my body? I had to look at that really hard and deep, and finally coming to this breakthrough of the eating disorder I did experience and have carried with me for 10 years was directly related to the fact that I did not feel connected to the body I was born in. So once I started my medical transition and I was starting to see the transformation happening physically, major transformation happening within me as well, because on the physical appearance, I was starting to see in the mirror, like who I always saw on the inside. So with that, I've been able to recreate my connection through movement. And I'm a big proponent of moving and being outside. And that is as simple as like taking a walk in nature, going for hikes. It doesn't mean you have to be lifting heavy weights every single day. I do love to weight lift. That I feel really empowered and strong doing that. But what I really like to bring with my message is just moving your body, getting outside, playing around, and just becoming more embodied with who you are and finding those connections on how you can relate to the natural world through your movement practice.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And I relate to that a lot as well. I think a lot of times people carry emotions and kind of hold on to some emotions when they don't move their body. So can you speak to that a little bit? I know that you work with a lot of the transgender community, specifically around movement. So is this a core component of their transition and kind of processing all the emotions that could come with that transition?
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. Storing those stuck emotions that, you know, because the majority of the clients I do work with are, were born biologically female, and then they either transition medically or not, but they take on a different role in how they identify in the world. And really working with them on building that confidence within the body that they have and how that connection is with, like, with their mind. Some people, they may disassociate from certain aspects of their body because there's dysphoria related to that, which is, you know, they don't feel comfortable, a common thing. And I know for me, you know, speaking from my own experiences, I was very uncomfortable having breasts. And I eventually did have top surgery to have a masculinized chest. And once that happened for me, I exploded with so much more confidence. And that translated into my movement practice. I just felt, just because I felt more confident and embodied within myself. And that's something that I feel really honored to take on and work with the clients that I do have, creating, you know, individualized programs for each of them and what their goals are, what their challenges are, what they want to work on with their own specific goals and their movement practice, and then tying in nutrition as well, because that's a big proponent of, you know, feeling good in your body is having a really, really good nutrition and good food, and which I know we'll get into maybe at some point. And then also, you know, adding in like these core biohacking tools that can be really simple to add into your life.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, as you were going through your transition and as you support some of your clients in this process, or even perhaps after they've transitioned or maybe before, are there certain biohacks that you found to be very supportive and helpful that might help some other folks who are going through this same experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm speaking for myself and my own experience of when I did start my transition and just opened up that space is at that time I was also starting to learn about biohacking. It was becoming more mainstream at that time back about, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. So, but for me, something that I had been practicing and committed to practicing and still do to this day is a gratitude journal. So that I feel is an accessible practice for most people. And it's something that I do encourage with my clients to do, and anybody in general in my life. I just know for me, it has an impact on my life with like how it like compounds over time. Just this like simple act of giving gratitude for something even really small every day. So what I do is in the morning, within my morning routine, is I write down 3 things I am grateful for that day. You can do this in the morning and at night, anytime during the day. And it just, it shifts my focus to the goodness that is happening in my life or in the world, especially at this time, with a lot of upheaval that many of us are experiencing. Definitely something I encourage people to try out.
Yes, gratitude is a huge aspect of my personal biohacking routine, my morning routine, my evening routine, and something that I actually teach about a lot because it's kind of that perspective shift. It's, people call it positivity or optimism or whatever you want to call it, but the ability to self-regulate has a lot to do with the ability to feel safe, to feel grounded, to feel happy with your current situation. And so from a nervous system level, if you can think about things that you're grateful for, even if your physical experience isn't necessarily a positive one, your mind doesn't know the difference between a thought and an experience as far in terms of how it shows up in your body. So if you can think of something that you feel grateful for, you actually have that physical experience in your body, even though it may not be happening at this time and place. So I think that is a powerful, powerful modality for anyone, and a really great place to start with biohacking because it doesn't require any expensive supplements or biotech or any of these things. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Thanks for, you know, reiterating about it. And I like how you point out that it is a way to self-regulate. And just for me, it's like grounding in to my center in perhaps an experience in which I might be feeling extra anxiety or stress due to either a outside circumstance or just internal, you know, my mind creating stories. So, yeah, grounding in and coming back to that practice and just looking around and seeing how much I have and how much abundance I have in my life. And yeah, changing, and it rewires my brain, and I'm able to see more of the optimistic side coming from a heart-centered place.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And so something that drew us together, and something that I'm very passionate about, is the health science gap for women, right? So we're talking about mental health, we're talking about physical health, where women are not represented in the scientific community and therefore are not properly represented in the medical system. And something that I've been thinking about since you reached out to me is this same gap exists maybe even more so for the transgender community. So I was curious if you have found any interesting science that is supportive of the transgender community, or if you have any specific resources that are really high quality, because the science may not have caught up yet. It's definitely a gap. Are there really good resources out there that you have found really helpful for mental and physical health that is geared towards the transgender community and not necessarily just for men, which is basically what's out there, or even for men or women, just specifically geared towards people who are transgender?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I know, you know, Instagram was a big platform a few years ago that actually helped give voice to trans community, specifically trans men. And that was a way in which I was able to learn a lot of information, along with various YouTube videos of people just sharing their own experience. Because we all have had, there's similarities between the changes that happen when you do go on hormone. But, you know, everyone's experience is going to be very different. And so in terms of, you know, just actually finding support systems, I can't specifically name anyone off the top of my head, but there are more groups happening or that are geared towards trans men, non-binary folks and their identity, that are, you know, similar to what I know is very popular now, is like men's groups. you know, I encourage anyone, if they're out there and they are, you know, seeking support, to, you know, to go online, do some searches. There are some great resources. A particular one that I have actually been looking into is through the Intentional Man Project. And there's a book called Mindful Masculinity Workbook. And it actually was written by a trans man. But he does draw in a lot of voices within the LGBT community. There's women, there's men, there's some stories shared by some gay men, some lesbian women. And so that is something I recently found over the past few months. And, you know, I'm 5 years into this process, but I'm still I still have a lot of questions about what masculinity is and how that fits into our mainstream, the conversation. But in terms of, you know, I know you do a lot of scientific, like you look up scientific studies and like you're in that field. That's an area that I'm so curious to know if there's anybody out there who is doing work with the trans community. I've looked into researching that here and there throughout the past few years, but I haven't come across anybody specifically. So it's exciting that you are, you know, like I said, you're even bringing me into your conversation to share that with your followers, because somebody might hear this and be open to that.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. So call to action, listeners, everyone listening. If you are working on, whether it be health science or any other science and research with the transgender community, please reach out. First of all, I would love to know. And Jaden would also love to know and potentially be involved as well. So please do reach out to us if anybody has that going on. I haven't found any particularly in the health sciences. And as a neuroscientist, and I'm looking at the neurochemical and biochemical differences between men and women, right? And mm-hmm. So really, when you're looking at the biochemical processes, the only main difference between men and women is hormones, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the transition mechanism for the transgender community. So I'm curious to know from you, one, with adding in that level of testosterone and going through that transition, first of all, what was that experience like for you? And secondly, when things were difficult throughout that experience, if they were, mm-hmm. were there certain things that were really supportive for your body, for your mind, and for just for your being to go through that experience?
Mm. Yeah, great question. And I mean, I went and watched so many videos prior to starting my hormones, the testosterone, but it definitely doesn't prepare you fully. So for me, the transition of my body basically taking on this new hormone or an increased amount of testosterone, since I already had some in my body, but then having that become my dominant hormone as my estrogen levels went down. So the first 2 years were fairly rocky. I had emotional instability. I definitely felt more anxiety induced. And I think that also was related to just my gender appearance, like my physical, the physical changes that were happening that felt uncomfortable in society, even though it's what I wanted. But I mean, I'm essentially going through puberty for the second time, but now as a, what I felt like was a boy going through puberty to become a man. A lot of the changes were the physical and the mental and emotional that were happening all at once. I'm grateful I had a really stable home and support system, and not everyone has that. And I still struggled. So for me, reflecting back on that time, for me, it was creating just a practice that would help that would support regulating my body and my mind every day. And that goes back to just what I do in general as a movement coach, as a health practitioner. And, you know, I share this on my Instagram all the time, but, you know, basically, like I said, you know, having my gratitude journal, I started learning about different breathing techniques to help support, to help me when I was having anxiety and close to some panic attacks. And so learning about the Wim Hof breathing, that was the main one that I was sourcing a lot from. And then eventually I started implementing cold showers every day. And then always having a really strong relationship with being outside and in nature. And that was as simple as sitting under a tree in the sun sometimes for 10 or 15 minutes to, like I said, ground in, to remind myself of where I was, that I'm in my body, because there's a lot of noise around me during those first few years around transition and just feeling, you're uncomfortable, physically and emotionally uncomfortable. So those practices are the ones that, I mean, I still carry with me to this day, but I would say because of transitioning, like that was when they were established. And I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't committed to myself in carrying those practices forward. And that's why I want to share them with other people that I work with.
Mm. Yeah. That's so powerful, and thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that with us. I think that this conversation is going to help so many people. I can't wait to publish this episode. So I was curious, for the transgender community, and specifically those who are actively going through their transition, do you think that it is helpful or even maybe necessary for them to work with health practitioners and, you know, movement practitioners and whoever their support system is, if those folks are also in the transgender community or maybe they've gone through the transition already?
Yeah, I definitely think it's helpful. And I mean, even over the last 5 years, there's been such a growth in the availability of, you know, through social media, of people finding other resources within the health field and movement field where they will feel seen and heard and feel safe. And that's something that that I want to bring forward even more. I personally feel like I am able to balance fairly well within communities that are perhaps not as inclusive. And I feel that's a amazing skill of mine, that I can still connect with other people, but also, you know, wanting to educate them and just let them see, like, I'm just another human, just like them. We're all the same, really. I might have had a different trajectory of my physical experience and also the transitions I've been through, but I'm still the same. And so, you know, like I said, like what you're doing, I'm so grateful you're elevating my voice through your platform so that other people will find out about you and me, and, you know, becoming more inclusive around language, knowing just making assumptions on how somebody might identify based on how they look or what their name is. And so through social media, I find that it's been a great resource for me, especially. And I really hope that that more practitioners are able to open up and create that safe space. I think that is, for me, that was the most important thing, is I want to feel safe with the person I'm speaking with or the group that I am involved in. And, you know, and to be seen for who I am and not, not like, I'm not just my transition. I'm not just this identity. I'm just, you know, I'm this human who is on this path and I want to live the best life possible. So, it's been great to see the growth of that over the past 5 years. And, I'm really excited to what is going to happen with the growth over the next 5 years, even of people, opening up space for everybody to work with. And, you know, it's like you said there, you know, there's not a lot of research being done. So, you know, there is a difference between like basically the hormones of testosterone and estrogen. And mm-hmm. that's where I'm curious because I don't have a background in science. So I'm just really curious, like for my own self, you know, I was born with predominantly, I was estrogen dominant. And now I am now testosterone dominant, mm-hmm. but I'm still that same person. That same soul, like I still have that same body and everything inside me. So, the scientific aspect to that is I'm really curious about, and hopefully, like you said, somebody will maybe look into it a little more. But it's great to have these platforms available to see more people having spaces to go to work with others to improve mm-hmm. their health and their overall wellness.
Yes. And after your initial message to me, this has really been on my mind as an entrepreneur and a biohacker and a scientist and a speaker. I am very cognizant and wanting to be inclusive with the language that I use. And I want to make people feel safe. It doesn't matter if they're man, woman, transgender, however they identify, doesn't matter to me, but their safety matters to me because I think mm-hmm. that is not only a basic need that everybody has, but it's a right that everybody mm-hmm. has to be mm-hmm. and feel safe and be seen and heard. And so on that note, I know there are other entrepreneurs and leaders listening to this episode. So I would love to hear a little bit from you. First of all, what are you experiencing in this space, maybe in the health and wellness space, but maybe with entrepreneurs, business owners, leaders? What kind of language is being used that is really disempowering and creating unsafe spaces? And then how can we course correct? Me as a leader, I want to make sure that I am using language that empowers people. So you gave me a couple great ideas and examples of things that I could say instead of, you know, addressing, you know, man, woman, male, female, whatever. Mm-hmm. I could say, you know, how do you identify? If you identify as a woman, then here is, you know, some things that you could do. If you identify as a man, here are some things. So those are some ideas, but I would love to hear a little more about your perspective around this and maybe some help, some support from you to help us elevate our own outreach to really empower people.
Yeah, it's definitely a great question, and it's been a big conversation over the past year, especially on the social media platforms. And, you know, just for all transparency, I'm still learning how to address those who are different than me. As, you know, as somebody who was trans, I did not know what transgender was up until, like, about 10 years ago. So I'm still in that process of, you know, I've been conditioned since I was very young to just see the black and white, the non, you know, male, female, the binary that, the world that I was born into. So it's been a beautiful unfolding for me as well as I am also in my own process of as questioning my gender and then sharing that with the world. So, you know, something that I have been using the past couple of years and just like really going back to is being curious about others. And like I had shared before, you know, avoiding or not having assumptions around how people might identify, and being curious and wanting to learn about who the other person is, and trying to go beyond whatever your fears or judgments might be. And it's also going to be coming up against your own personal idea of what you might think is right based on just your own conditioning. So that disconfirming information that you're going to receive when you meet somebody, and they might, you know, they might look like a female that you, a woman that you're typically have been associated looking like a woman, but they might prefer to use they, them pronouns. So so having that conversation and not having assumptions, and from my own personal experience, assumptions is something that I definitely struggled with during the beginning of my transition, the assumptions that my pronouns were she, her, because I didn't look fully masculine, and having to correct people, you know. And so also for yourself, finding compassion for other people, because most people are not doing it. They're not doing it intentionally. It's reconditioning their own biases that they have had for years and years. So I find that coming from a place of curiosity and compassion on both ends can be really helpful. But, you know, providing education and training within your work force, you know, if you have employees, creating training tools, bringing in, I know there's a lot of transgender educators out there, or gender diversity educators who are, you know, provide trainings for organizations and businesses. So I think that's a really great place to start. And just having the conversations, you know, bringing visibility into the spaces that you're in. And, you know, like I had said before, like creating just like a safe and warm, open environment. Language is so powerful. And like I said, I'm still on this process of learning how to properly use language within my own community because of my own conditioning. So, you know, if someone corrects me, then it gives me, like, I can step back and gives me space to say, oh, okay, like, I want to learn more. I want to be curious. And how can I go about this differently going forward? So, and then the other part I would say is, you know, like becoming an ally. And that doesn't mean, you know, you have to go to tons of organizations or groups or join a big group, but just, you know, educating yourself, doing research. You might want to join a group, you know, speaking up for those who might not have a voice, and standing up for those who, you know, need that support within our system to just create more inclusivity and more awareness within the LGBT and the trans community.
Yes, that is so beautiful. My personal experience has really been a great experience in learning the language that is inclusive and empowering to everyone. And it really has been that way because of curiosity. So I really connect with that. And I shared a little bit with you about this, but even growing up, a dear, dear friend of mine, you know, we went to middle school and high school together, and then in college, and now we're adults and we're fully who we are. And it's been a beautiful process for us both to experience together, just as I've become, you know, 20 different people over that timeline. He has also become 20 different people over that timeline. But as he was transitioning from being seen as a woman to then being seen as a man, I think curiosity is what what allowed us to stay close and open to kind of adjusting, because it was like, oh, okay, like, instead of being offended, either one of us, like me being corrected and being offended, or him being offended by me not using the right language, we didn't really approach it that way. It was kind of like, let's be curious, what feels good right now for both of us? What feels good? What feels good for you, for me to try? And then also having grace with it. It's like, if I, for instance, if I didn't get it right, or if I didn't use the right language, it wasn't like, you know, a shame, like, oh my gosh, you did bad. It was more like, you know, thank you for trying, and that's not right. And here's the way to go about it. And so going through that whole process where there were lots of transition points where the language had to change several times, and just getting used to it and kind of leaning into different opportunities with curiosity instead of fear. I think a lot of it is fear. So there's a fear of using the wrong language. And so instead of trying and being curious and experimenting, a lot of people just avoid. And I think that's where if we both, if all sides, you know, business and health and men and women and transgender communities and everybody comes together, no matter how they identify, and allows for the space for curiosity and the grace for a learning process, because, you know, it's a learning process to try something new for everyone in that situation. So I love that you lead with curiosity, and I really, really align with that. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that experience. And of course, I mean, you're bio-curious, Kayla. So
maybe it comes a little more naturally to me. But.
Yeah, exactly. I know this was definitely not my approach in the beginning of my transition. I had very many angry moments of blaming other people for their, you know, using the incorrect pronouns, using the incorrect name, because I was born with a different name. So that was more my family and those who knew me, you know, since I was a baby, essentially. And so really coming in that place, like, yeah, okay, how can I be curious about, like, what's coming up for them? Because it's challenging for them as well. Like, you were sharing with your friend, and not butting heads, not getting angry at each other for correcting one another, but having more of that grace around the situation. So, it's definitely has taken me quite a few years to get to this place, but it feels much more, there's more freedom in it than pointing fingers and blaming other people for their, you know, for whatever, misgendering me or using the wrong name, because it doesn't allow for that openness and conversation to happen of acceptance for both people. Yeah,
I love that. And it's definitely front of mind for me in all of my language, because I am a public facing persona, right? And a place for people to come and learn and connect. And so I definitely want to be fully inclusive in anything that I educate about. And part of that is highlighting where the science gaps are. So I am cognizant of that and will be doing that more in the future, not only advocating for women, but other folks who are not represented, you know, specifically in the science.
I mean, I can only imagine what, you know, how much more information we could have if the science was working more like you are with more women and more those in the minority. And I know. Yeah. So it's like I said, it's really cool. And I hope I trust there's probably people out there who want to do that. So you included. So it's exciting.
Yeah, thank you. And for folks who may be interested in maybe learning more, or maybe they're business owners or leaders and they're interested in kind of some coaching around inclusivity, is that something that they could reach out to you for?
Yeah, I'm happy to to talk with them. And, you know, and like I said, I'm as of now, like, you know, I can bring my own experience with that, and definitely open to working with other people who have questions around that and wanting to know how they can be more inclusive within their own business.
Awesome. Well, thank you for offering that up. And I'm definitely going to continue using you as a resource for my language and my education and what I'm putting out there. So I'm just really grateful for you to be open to that.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of questions that I like to ask all of my podcast guests if you are up for the task.
Oh, sure.
Awesome. So the first one is, and you alluded to this a little bit, do you have a morning routine that sets you up for success for the day? And if so, what does it include?
Yeah, great question. I, if anyone who knows me knows I have a morning routine. I'm a very routine-oriented person and in general, and that's what helps me stay regulated and grounded for the majority of my days, you know? So yeah, so my morning routine, and this is something that I showcase a lot on Instagram on my story. Basically right now, my morning routine looks like this. I get up, I immediately take a cold shower. I've been doing that practice now for 2.5 years. And so take my cold shower. Then I transition into a guided meditation, and that's for about 20 minutes. Then I go and brew my coffee. So right now I've been drinking my coffee with heavy cream and colostrum. Sometimes I'll switch off and I'll do bulletproof coffee for a while. So always have my coffee game. That's very important to me. Then I will journal and read. So that's my time to do my gratitude journal, dive into whatever book I'm reading, to just, you know, gain more knowledge for what it is that I'm focused on at that time. And then I started this practice last year. I will go watch the sunrise. I'm really grateful I have accessibility to watch the sunrise where I live. I have to drive about 5 minutes to go up to a hilltop to see the sunrise. So if it's going to be a clear day, I go do that. And then I transition into my movement practice, and that will last anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes. So it sounds like it can be, you know, pretty elaborate morning routine, but, you know, it can be accessible in certain ways for people depending on what their schedules are like. So, yeah, that's my morning routine. It sets me up for my day. It's something I've committed to I've probably been doing a morning routine for like at least 10 years consistently, as best as I can, depending on what kind of work I was doing. But it's a very important part of my day, is to get my day started off to feeling regulated and grounded and, in my body. And I will say, I do all this. I don't turn my phone on until usually like either after I go watch the sunrise or maybe before to see if it is cloudy, because sometimes I can't always tell. So my phone's off for at least the first hour and a half I'm awake.
I love that. And, you know, that I think that's one of the biggest, I say mistake for lack of a better term, but that people make is they come out of, first of all, they wake up to an alarm that is usually not a pleasant sound.
Yeah.
So already you have a spike of cortisol going. And then you hop straight onto your phone and you're checking social media and you're checking your email or whatever things that you need to check. And already right there, you're getting your second hit of cortisol, the stress hormone, right? So you're already starting your day off dysregulated. You're already starting your day off in the sympathetic nervous system. And it's going to be really hard to transition out of that if that's how you set the tone for the day. So I love that you start your day to ground and start slow and fully wake up and come into your body, because that also sets the tone for the rest of your day. And it's going to be hard for you to be shifted out of that kind of grounded, focused state into a fight or flight state. And so that's really beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, doing all those, doing that routine, like I said, has been very beneficial to help me stay regulated. And it's like, because of that, then I, over time, I have been able to become more resilient and less reactive to stress, more capable and adaptable because I have had these practices, and then can throw in little practices throughout the day, which would be basically maybe taking a 10-minute walk, step away from my phone, my computer, go walk outside for 10 minutes, or go do a 5-minute breathing practice, or just sit and meditate and, you know, in quiet and stillness for 5 minutes. So that's over time, those have really helped me become more resilient to stress and anxiety that is inevitable going to happen during the day.
Yes, absolutely. And that's exactly, you're preaching to the choir. It's kind of, a lot of people think stress reduction is removing stressors. Well, no, it's not, because stressors exist in life. It's part of this experience that we have as humans, and that's not ever going to go away. We may be able to get rid of some of those, but there will always be stressors. So it's more about increasing your stress threshold, which is about regulating, teaching your body how to self-regulate and your nervous system how to regulate itself. So you're exactly right. And I love that you start your day this way. So the last question that I have, if the listeners could make just one simple change in their lives that would improve their overall health and wellness, what would you recommend it be?
That's a great question. I could have so many answers for that. For me, that would be connecting back to nature. So nature connection, and find that all of these practices that I've incorporated into my life, especially with my own business of creating a movement practice and business to share with others, it all comes back to my deep connection to nature, to feeling grounded with this place that we are essentially made of. And I've been able to gain so much wisdom and lessons when I am connected through grounding, through being out in the sunshine, being in wild waters, walking on the beach, or sitting under a tree. The amount of space that nature can hold for us, like all of our light and darkness, that can really help transform us, I feel is such an important aspect that I want everyone to be able to have that experience. So, you know, whether you live in an apartment building in the city or you live out in the middle of the country and have mountains all around you or anywhere in between, if you can find even just a piece of ground to put your feet on, your bare feet and ground in, or sit under a tree, that would be my piece of advice is finding a way to connect back to nature. And you're going to start to connect back to who you are and what your innate wisdom is and what your purpose is here on this planet.
I love that piece of advice. And it's a great way to regulate your nervous system.
Yeah.
So if the listeners are interested in connecting with you or they want to learn more about your work, where's the best place for them to find you?
Yeah, so I'm most active on Instagram, and my handle is at Jaden James, JadenJames. And you can also go to my website to read more about what I have to offer in terms of my movement and nutrition coaching that I offer with clients working on an individual basis. And that is JadenJames.com. And you can sign up for my newsletter. You can send me a message on there if you're interested in having a free consultation to talk about training. But that's it. So, Instagram is my most active platform right now. And you can send me a message on there too. I'll get back to you. And yeah, just look forward to connecting with all sorts of people and keep spreading the word on how we can create better health for ourselves and better wellness and through movement and nutrition and all these amazing biohacking tools and practices.
Thank you so, so much. This was such a pleasure for me to have this conversation with you. And I think the listeners are going to get so much out of this conversation.
Yes, thank you, Kayla. I'm so appreciative of you taking time to do this and for your willingness to be curious and open when I reached out to you in the first place. And so I'm very grateful for this connection, and I look forward to possibly having more conversations down the road.
I hope you liked this week's episode of the BioCurious podcast. If you enjoy listening and learn something, please leave us a review and share it with someone that could benefit. If you don't already, follow our Instagram at BioCurious podcast for teasers of new episodes, advice from old guests, biohacking quizzes, and if you tag this account with a screenshot of the episode, we will feature you on our story. Thank you for all the support and have a good day.